Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, friends, Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. Welcome to the End Abortion Podcast. You know, we are having another annual March for Life. It's that time of year, and hundreds of thousands will gather in Washington, D.C. for this annual march. My first march was in 1976, and I've gone to just about everyone since then. And it was the spark that led me into the pro-life movement, as it is for so many people. The march has only grown and grown and grown, and the perseverance of the people marching for some 46 years is a testament to the strength of this movement, a testament to how fundamental the effort is to save babies from violent destruction. Well, the march was founded by Nellie Gray, and she was a good friend of ours and a close colleague. Talked and met and ate with her so frequently and helped her very much with the March for Life in many different ways. And Nellie passed away back in 2012. And now Jeannie Mancini is the one who is carrying on her role as president of the March for Life Education and Trust Fund. And we interviewed Jeannie. Janet Morana, our executive director, and I interviewed Jeannie just the other day to get ready for this year's March for Life, to remind people about the spirit and purpose behind it, tell them where they can get the resources to take part in it fruitfully. And we want to share with you that interview today here on this End Abortion Podcast. We originally aired it on our Radio Maria Gospel of Life program. You know, the March for Life, like so many other organizations, does have activities all year long. And together with groups like Priests for Life, we are educating people about what Nellie always called the life principles, the key principles that are at the foundation of any civilized society, that you don't kill the innocent, it is always wrong, and in order to save lives, you do everything possible to save as many as possible. Nellie was very, very moved by these principles, and she was moved into the abortion battle because she saw the connections with the Nazi regime and the Holocaust and the Nuremberg trials. She said, look, these are crimes against humanity. It's not that any law or any government can make the killing of the innocent legitimate. No law can make that legitimate. And of course, that's the teaching of the church as well, that laws which would legitimize abortion are really not laws at all. And because of that passionate conviction, Nellie persevered in having the march every year. And we have a presidential administration, as we have had various ones over the years, who have been very supportive of the pro-life cause. I remember back in the days of Nellie Gray and in the 80s going to the March for Life, when President Reagan would call in by telephone and address Nellie and the marchers on the day of the march, which is always on or around January 22nd, because that's the anniversary of the Roe versus Wade Supreme Court case that legalized abortion. Now, so President Reagan would call in and would greet and encourage the marchers. And so too did President George W. Bush. And we have also now President Trump, who not only called in but did a video, live video hookup from the White House last year. And Vice President Pence actually came in person to show the support of the Trump administration for what the marchers are doing. And Vice President Pence, in his traditional way, and he always attended the March for Life when he was a congressman, said, life is winning in America. And it certainly is. The pro-life cause, the cause of defending the unborn, is winning. We are making progress. And Jeannie and her team, as well as we at Priests for Life and our team, are very aware of that progress. We're happy to contribute to that progress. And I want to share with you now the interview that we had with Jeannie, in the hopes that whether you can go to the march or not, you will be inspired by this event and by the nature, purpose, and spirit behind it. And let me give you a little bit of Jeannie's background. She was appointed to the role of president of March for Life in the fall of 2012. And in this capacity, she proudly directs this small nonprofit, and most notably with this annual event. Previously, she worked with the Family Research Council, dealing with issues like abortion. And prior to that, she worked for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services in the office of the secretary. Before working in public policy, she worked for the Catholic Church in a variety of positions involving educating on life issues as well as sexuality, marriage, and family. She appears on many of the secular news outlets as well as publications. She holds an undergraduate degree in psychology from James Madison University and a master's degree in the theology of marriage and family from the Pope John Paul II Institute for Studies on Marriage and the Family. She resides in Northern Virginia with her husband, David. And now, the interview of Janet Morana and I with Jeannie Mancini of March for Life.
I know you're a dear friend of ours, and welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me.
Okay, so Jeannie, how many hours a day is your staff working, going crazy now, putting together the last details of the March for Life?
We have a very modest staff. We're a staff of seven, and one of us is a halftime person, so we are all really busy. We're sort of, we're describing it as we're in sort of the final stretch now of the marathon, and but there's a lot of joy, I have to say, as well. And every day there's, like, just great little stories and then some hard things, too. But it's kind of a bonding and beautiful moment to work together with a staff like this as we're beginning to be near the end of this year's March for Life.
Right. Well, you know, Jeannie, let me just take you back because, you know, we all remember when Nellie Gray passed away. And, you know, for me, she was, you know, just so faithful. I mean, she basically gave up her entire life for this issue. As you know, she remained single. She was a lawyer, but she walked away from all that. And, you know, you had to fill some pretty big shoes. So tell our listeners, how did that feel replacing the kind of great Nellie Gray?
Well, there's a beautiful quote, and I can't remember exactly who said it, but it's really only by sort of standing on the shoulders of the giants that have gone before us that we can do, you know, new great things. And I definitely felt that way. But in the moment that I was called to help work with the March for Life, I just really sensed a call from God, a very deep call. And it wasn't exactly what I had in mind, but I knew in my heart, you know, I just kind of heard his voice in my heart. And I had sort of a special experience of Our Lady related to that too. And so I felt like I wouldn't be faithful if I didn't say yes. And I didn't have any understanding of what it meant. I mean, honestly, at the time I thought, oh, wow, working at Family Research Council is like so, you know, it's always so intense and there's always something going on. And I thought, oh, this will be quiet. Little did I know it wasn't that way at all. You know, God sort of, I don't want to say tricks us into things or anything, but he had different ideas in mind.
Well, I'm sure Nellie is smiling down from heaven because many of our listeners may not realize, but she was a very devout Catholic. And I remember years ago at the convention, we even had Father Wright, some masses actually were incorporated as part of the convention. Like when the convention, you know, Jeannie was over like a weekend sometimes, like on a Saturday night. I remember one time Cardinal O'Connor did the vigil mass on a Saturday night at the convention. And then we went, you know, on to the rest of the convention activities. So I'm sure Jeannie is smiling down. I'm sorry, Nellie is smiling down, Jeannie, on you having a good, faithful girl, woman replacing her, you know?
Well, thanks, Janet. I mean, I ask for her intercession a lot. I'm sure sometimes she would do things differently, you know, but we do what we can, and we, you know, I just try to discern as much as possible just to try to listen to God's voice, and I'm sure I do that quite imperfectly.
Well,
but there is a beautiful little spot at the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in D.C. It's like a, I don't know how to describe it exactly, but it's a stone in the wall that is dedicated to Nellie.
Oh. And
whenever I go to the shrine, I try to go there and just kind of pray to her in a special way. And just at different moments, you know, I'll, I don't know. I mean, of course, she's in heaven, and she's just still even more powerfully working for the March for Life now. And so
that's right.
As much as I can remember, I try to ask for her intercession. I know so many other people do as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jeannie, I always remember Nellie walking around with her yellow legal pad. That's where all her notes were for the March for Life. You know, she wasn't very savvy on the computer or anything. So I have to say that you and your team have really amped things up now. The website is amazing. If any of our listeners have not been there, marchforlife.org. I mean, all the information. I was very highly impressed, too, Jeannie, how you have all the dates for the next 5 years for the March for Life. So if anyone's curious when they are, they're up there. But the way we can register online now, exhibitors like we are, we're a Yellow Rose sponsor this year, Priest for Life. And, you know, we can register online. We can buy tickets for the Rose Dinner. And is there still time? Because people are listening, Jeannie, and saying, gee, you know, maybe I can go because, you know, the weather's been milder in Washington. So maybe more people are thinking of coming. And is it too late, or can they still jump in and get involved?
Oh, absolutely. It's not too late. So, and by the way, I just checked the weather forecast on my way home. So we're expecting a balmy high of 45 the day of the March
for
Life.
That'll be great.
And it's not supposed to rain or snow now or anything. So that's a very mild day by March for Life standards. But it's definitely not too late. And thanks for the shout out for the website. We've got just an amazing team, as I mentioned before, that works so hard on trying to make these things as user-friendly as possible. So we're at marchforlife.org, and all the information's on there. I will say by tomorrow, it will be too late to come to the Rose Dinner. We're almost sold out, and we need to shut that down tomorrow.
Wow.
So anybody who's interested in the Rose Dinner, I would highly encourage you to get online tonight and get a ticket, the last few before we shut it down.
And so how many people then, Jeannie, will be at the Rose Dinner? About?
Well, we have set it down in sort of the mid-800s, so I don't know where we're at now, but we max out like in the high-800s. Our keynote this year is a woman by the name of Dr. Kathy Altman.
Oh!
And she's from Florida with you all, and she's just phenomenal. She is an OBGYN. She used to be a medical director for Planned Parenthood, and so you can imagine that she's had a real change of heart on these issues, and she's just what I would describe as a gentle and deep soul, and she's going to share her story. I'd also like to say, and I can't say more than this, stay tuned. There may be a special guest or two coming to the Rose Dinner. So stay tuned for special announcements about that.
Well, Jeannie, I was wondering, too, Father Frank here, thanks for joining us tonight. We are really looking forward to it next week. And, you know, a lot of people are, and I'm sure you get the question, I've gotten it over the years, they say, well, my goodness, we're in Washington, D.C., it's the middle of January, sometimes it's so cold, looks like this year we'll be fortunate, and they'll say, why don't we do this in June or something like that? And, you know, I think it's very instructive for the movement and for the wider society that although we speak about our overall ethic of building a culture of life, civilization of love, you know, we speak in these very broad moral terms, respect for life from every moment from conception and natural death. But the point is, there's a reason we gather in Washington, and there's a reason that it is on or around January the 22nd. Can you speak for that? Because the focus, really, of you know, all these people are coming together. We're marching, we're praying, we're lobbying. We're coming together for a particular group of people that need our help, namely the children in the womb. And talk to us about that and how that shapes what the March for Life does, not only next week, but all throughout the year.
Yeah, thanks, Father Frank. That's a great question. And also, thanks for having me on tonight. I really appreciate it. So, of course, the March for Life is commemorating the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, which legalized abortion in our country January 22nd, 1973, and the combination, really, of two Supreme Court decisions that day, Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton, legalized abortion through all three trimesters. And so we have marched every single year since then. We talked a little bit about Nellie. So Nellie and a group of other people, Dee Becker was mentioned, started the first march the following year after 1973. And they anticipated there would be maybe one, maybe two marches.
Right. Yeah, I remember that.
Right. Roe v. Wade was really a decision of judicial activism, and they absolutely believed that it would be corrected, that this would not go on for very long. You know, so little did they anticipate that here, 46 years later, we'd be still marching, and that Nellie would therefore, you know, dedicate basically her entire second half of her life to running the March for Life single-handedly. Little did they know that the March for Life would become what it has become, so youthful, so big. I mean, really the largest pro-life and human rights demonstration annually worldwide,
yes,
that I'm aware of. I mean,
yes,
we shut our nation's capital down on a weekday every year, and that, I can't think of any other march that does that. And yes, Father, you mentioned the most important part, which is that we are mourning the loss of 60 million Americans to abortion. And of course, and Janet and Silent No More does such a beautiful job of helping women find hope and healing. So not only do we mourn the loss of the 60 million, but also the moms and the dads who've been involved in abortion, who carry the war wounds of having,
yes,
made those choices.
Well, for those listeners that are just joining us, we are talking with the president of the March for Life, Jeannie Mancini, a good friend and colleague of ours. And of course, we're gearing up for the big march next week, January 18th in Washington. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life, together with Janet Marana, our executive director. And Jeannie, we want to go into what you just brought it up just now about the Silent No More campaign. This is such a beautiful and integral part of what we do in Washington. And as you know, Janet, and together with Georgette Forney, co-founded this campaign. This will be, Janet, won't it, the 17th year?
17 years,
that,
yes.
That Silent No More has, mm-hmm, had its, it does gatherings throughout the year, but it, mm-hmm, has its major gathering right at the conclusion of the march. And Jeannie, I know you, you know, as did Nellie, of course, deeply appreciate the voices of these not only moms, but the dads, and increasingly the grandparents, the siblings, various family members who are impacted by and who are grieving and mourning the loss of a child in that family to abortion. Speak to us about how you see these voices now, which in a sense form a sort of an exclamation point at the conclusion of the march, as they gather there at the steps of the Supreme Court and actually share their soul, their story, their pain, but also their hope and their healing in the Lord.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to put into words how important those testimonies and those courageous, you know, people who are willing to share their very vulnerable and personal stories, what that actually means to the movement. I mean, this is sort of the understatement of the year, but we know from common sense, but we also know from focus groups, that certain people have more power and more of a right to share their pro-life stories. And I think in particular, people that have made that choice and then come to see the light and have had a profound change of heart because of that are perhaps the single group that is most trusted in telling their stories, because they kind of have the right to tell us, you know, what they've been through. And they know firsthand that a quote-unquote right to abortion is not good for women or men or for anyone.
That's right. It's not women's health. That's for certain. And you know, Jeannie, you know, from the very early days of the campaign, Nellie really embraced us. Georgette and I were so thrilled that, you know, she saw it. She said, ladies, this is the conclusion of the March for Life. When you people are up there, and, you know, we would be at the front of the march so that we would get there, and as the marchers are going by, they're hearing. And that's what we find now, Jeannie. You know, people will stay around for maybe 15 minutes, and then their group moves on, and another group comes through, and another group comes through. And it's a constant flow of people stopping and listening to testimonies, because we're doing it for about 2 hours. You know, and I really have to thank you, too, in March for Life for, you know, promoting the campaign like you do on the website, like it is the concluding event, and then everyone goes back and goes to the Rose Dinner. So we greatly appreciate the help you've given. And we always get so many stories later on of people telling us, actually, a lot of people marching have had prior abortions, and some of them haven't gone through healing. And I don't know if you ever noticed, but we have a lot of the women that are lined up on the sidewalk while the others are up on the platform giving their stories. Others are sharing one-on-one with people at marches as they're going by. And so they've been able to connect people with healing, giving them that encouragement. And one year, a marcher came by, and she had a bucket of roses. And you know, she went by and hugged each woman and gave her a rose and thanked her for her witness. So there's so many beautiful stories that have happened over the years. There's actually been some kind of funny ones. There was one time a girl came in her wedding gown, simple gown, to give her testimony. And her testimony was that because of her abortion, she felt she would never marry. And she got through healing and all that, and it turns out she came back 2 years later with an engagement ring. So we've had this like wide variety through the years. I mean, 16 years of this, of different people coming and sharing. But what's really astounding is the marches themselves, how they embrace the men and women, but then the one-on-one healing and ministry that happens on the steps, on the street there, right outside the Supreme Court. It's astounding. And there's always more people that – and some people come up, Jeannie, and they whisper to the women and go, I know, I had one too, but I can't speak like you, so thanks for speaking for me. And they'll whisper like that, you know. So I know it's doing a great service, but I also know it's changing hearts and minds, and that's what we're doing it for. You know, we always say, you know, one of the slogans for the campaign is not whether abortion is legal or illegal, it's to make it unthinkable, an unthinkable choice, you know, for anyone. And I think your March for Life helping us and embracing our message and helping and giving us, like, be part of your wonderful March for Life. We're just ever so grateful for that. So I have to just thank you so much.
Well, it's mutual gratitude. I mean, again, like, it's hard to share, you know, the darker parts of life, and then so beautiful to show how God comes with his light and goodness and healing. And but that's very vulnerable, and it's very intimate, and just, you know, we're just so grateful for Silent No More and for the men and women who are willing to share those testimonies.
Thank
so
you.
That hopefully someone else won't make those decisions.
Well, Jeannie, one more thing. You know, many of our listeners may not realize, we were talking about there's a convention, you know, the day before the march for those who come in. Many of us, we get in on Wednesday, the exhibit booths, which are so many, gets all set up. And then you have a great convention on Thursday. Tell our listeners a little bit about the convention.
Oh, I'd love to. So we choose a theme for the March for Life each year. This year it is unique from day one. Pro-life is pro-science. And at the rally, because the rally is so short and the speakers only speak for 2 minutes, we don't really have the time to delve into the theme very much. We try to. We certainly do our best with videos and what have you. But the conference is the day where we can delve into the theme a little bit more. So this year we've got just the best of the best speaking. We've got Dr. David Prentice, of course, PhD. He's with Charlotte Lozier Institute, previously with Indiana University, the head of the science department there. We've got Dr. Gracie Christie, a radiologist, who will speak about advances in science and technology. Rick Smith, who founded an organization called Hope Story, a nonprofit that helps families who receive a Down syndrome diagnosis. Christina Curso of the Pro-Life Women or Pro-Women's Healthcare Centers, and then David Delayden is our keynote. We always have a portion in the conference that talks about grassroots lobbying, so how to interact with your members of Congress, and we've got sort of an all-star cast for that this year. Autumn Christensen from the Susan B. Anthony List, Representative Jim Banks, who's from Indiana and who will speak with people about how to interact with their members of Congress, and then his wife, who for many years was also very active in pro-life advocacy, will also be speaking.
It's a great lineup, and of course, tell our listeners also about the youth rally. We're always happy to loan our youth director Brian Kemper to help you out with that, and that's a great privilege for him. And but the youth rally is a really energizing moment too, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it's wonderful, and Brian's such a great MC. We're so blessed to have him doing that. So. The youth rallies where we gather maybe about 1,000 young people, primarily high schoolers, to talk about the theme as well and to get them inspired for the following day. I know the lineup this year involves a group called the Contends Project. Brooke Stanton, who's the executive director, will be speaking. I know Lila Rose is going to be speaking as well. I am going to be able to, I think our own Tom McCluskey from the March for Life will be. We've got a great lineup. I don't have it all right in front of me. I'm kind of going from memory for that, but it's a very fun and energetic afternoon. And there's a band called The Restless that also performs, and they're really, really good.
It's going to be fun. And one more thing, of course, I think I told you the story years ago when Alveda King first joined our team. She and I were marching arm in arm up Constitution Avenue on the day of the March for Life. And I turned to her and I said, Alveda, does this remind you of the marches with your uncle and the civil rights movement? And she turned to me and said, without hesitation, Father Frank, she said, this is the civil rights movement. And ever since then, she has been, as you know, proclaiming from the rooftops that the pro-life movement is the civil rights movement of today, which means that the March for Life is a civil rights march. And you mentioned it already, the biggest human rights gathering each year in the world. You're going to have Alveda play a special role this year too, aren't you?
We are so honored, to have Alveda as part of our rally lineup. She's going to be doing the closing prayer, which is a huge honor, I mean, frankly, and we are just honored to have her do that. So we're really excited to have her as part of the March for Life rally this year.
So, Jeannie, again, thank you for joining us this evening. I want to remind our listeners, go to marchforlife.org. You better do it tonight if you're going to get a Rose dinner ticket or you're going to be out of luck. You might be having hot dogs on a hot dog stand somewhere otherwise. So tonight's the night. Get those Rose dinner tickets. And there's still time, I'm sure, to register to come to the convention. And there might be some hotel rooms still to be had. So please come. Of course, Priest for Life will have an exhibit. We'll be down on the exhibit floor. We'll be wanting to welcome you. And guess what? Anyone who comes to our exhibit and said they heard Jeannie on our radio program tonight, you get a free book from me. So another reason to come to the convention. How's that, Jeannie? Okay.
Come.
Yeah, you come too. You get a free book too, Jeannie. Well, anyway, thank you for joining us. I know how busy you are. And we're all going to pray, brothers and sisters, for that mild weather and no precipitation, no rain. Okay?
Right.
And God bless you, Jeannie. We'll look forward to seeing you next week. Okay?
You guys too. Thanks for having me.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.